8:30, I told the folks in the congregation if I had a chance to get a copy of that song. And all the songs are great today. And one of my favorite hymns is Fairest Lord Jesus, and that was the introduction. And then the last song, you can listen to that on the internet. You just go to the church website and hear it again. And it's the best song I heard all week, you know. All the songs were great, but if we could, you know, if that group ever wanted to just get the song and pass it out, I'd give it to all my friends. So thank you for doing that. And all the music today, each choir person and you in the pew and our hearts toward God, just terrific. The line from that last song, "You are God and that's reason enough." Boy, what a line, whoever wrote that one. Both for singing, living, coming to church. He is God, that's reason enough. And our obedience to Christ also. He's God and that's reason enough. So continuing on with the Ten Commandments, remember they're written by God. They are the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. They're good for all time and for all people. So we get our hearts spoken to by God from them. You know, He's very clear. He's very straightforward, tender, compassionate by giving us these commandments. And they are a great teacher to lead us to Christ. So last week's commandment was, "You shall not murder in action or in heart." And this week is, "You shall not commit adultery in action or in heart." And God can meet us in this commandment as in any other commandment. And a second grader in Sunday school one time was asked, a little girl was asked, what's the sin of adultery? And she didn't really know, so she came up with this thought. She said, "The sin of adultery is the sin of pretending to be an adult when you're not really an adult." And that's a pretty good definition from the heart of innocence. The sin of pretending to be an adult when you're not really an adult. And interesting that this commandment, children have no problem keeping this commandment. Because the commandment has to do with loyalty, has to do with faithfulness, has to do with staying in there, in key relationships. And children are pretty good at that. We adults, we have a harder time with that. We're more likely to have problems in the area of faithfulness, loyalty, heart-to-heart relationships, intimacy in a good manner. We adults have problems with that. So we can learn by observation of a child's heart how our heart could be like that again. Clean before God when it comes to the commandment, "You shall not commit adultery." When we turn away from God in this commandment, we do so first from Him and then from one another. And we take all the gifts that He gives us and we use them in a selfish, self-destructive manner that hurts other people in a big way. And this commandment, like all the others, if we were to take an honest look at it and hear Jesus' words on it, we would say, you know, like the other commandments, we get a failing grade on this commandment. We need God's help with this, no matter, you know, what age or state of relationship, married or single, that we're at. We need God's help with this. And without His help, we're going to go in a wrong direction. And you might be sitting here saying, you know, I'm too old for this commandment. I'm too old to commit adultery. But you and I, we're in the story that happened to Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. We're either the one before Him, like the gal who has a sense of her own need, brokenness of her own heart, perhaps self-condemnation, certainly the condemnation of those around her. Or no matter what age we are, we're in the story with a big rock in our hand, ready to wing it at those who we have seen break this commandment in a direct way. So we're in the story with the rock, doing the Ben Roethlisberger imitation there, or we are the broken one saying, "I need help in this area of my life." And Jesus deals very effectively with every person. So I think this commandment could apply to your life in whatever state of relationship you are in with people. And Jesus confronts the sin of adultery many times in the Gospels. And he always does so very directly. He does so with the heart of love, but with the heart asking for change of direction and to return again to God and to the loving relationships he puts in our life. So just looking at that one case that Charlie read, a woman is caught in the act of adultery. She's brought before Jesus, and the people say the law of Moses says that she must die. And that was true. These are folks, they're going by the book. They know the manual. They turn to the right page and say, we know what to do. This person, this is a capital offense. And that just gives us an idea into the heart of God, how serious he takes this commandment. This is a serious one, because it breaks God's heart and people's heart. So it was a capital offense, and they had, you know, without any heart toward the dear person who was guilty of sin, they bring her. And they say, she should die. What do you say, Jesus? You wrote the commandment. What do you say? They didn't know that, but we know that. And so Jesus says, he sees the woman, he sees the people. He doesn't say anything at first. You know, maybe Jesus, when he doesn't say anything to us, he's given us a chance to look at our own hearts. All of us at certain times in our Christian life say, God didn't speak to me. There's a reason he hasn't spoken to you. He's waiting for you to ask yourself, where are you with him? So he didn't say anything to the people. I know some pastors get out of control with their creativity. Their sermon, they come to the pulpit, and they don't say anything. They just look. And all the people, you know, oh my, I wonder what's going on today. Well, that was Jesus. He was just quiet. And then he says, whoever is without sin, and he knows she's with sin. She has sin. But whoever is without sin, throw the first rock. Cast the first stone. And the Bible says they began to go away. Sadly, one after the other, the older ones first. You know, so again, you're never too old to be involved in obedience to this commandment or the implications of it. They went away first, being their consciences were awakened by God. You know, and how pray, that's something to pray for yourself and for all people, that our hearts would be and our consciences in a healthy way would be awakened by God. Very much in tune to him. And then Jesus says to the gal, he says something I think we need to hear a lot for ourselves and just for how we relate to people. He says, where are your accusers, woman? Probably a little more kindly than I said. Woman, where are your accusers? And that's something to face for our own hearts. Sometimes when it comes to any rebellion against the Lord, or even the sin of adultery by action or by heart, you think, where is the accusers when it comes to that? You and I, we see the world around us, and the world is very broken in terms of this commandment. This commandment sometimes is not even attempted to be kept anymore. It's like we just throw up our hands and say, what's the use? We're a hopeless case. When it comes to following his commandment, not Jesus. He doesn't do this, but he asks the question, where are your accusers? So if you're here today and you know before God, man, I'm as guilty as sin when it comes to this commandment. I've broken it either in action or in heart. And I'm gone. There's no sense even trying to be close to God or recover any kind of innocence in terms of relationships. Jesus would say, wait a minute. Where's your accusers? Are you going to accuse yourself? You're not supposed to do that. There's only one who can accuse, and he's writing the story. He's Jesus. He says, where are your accusers? He's the only one who could give the guilty or innocent verdict to this dear person. And she said, he says, is there anybody left to condemn you? She says, no one, sir. Oh, would it be for God's people today to, you know, walk out of church and say, I left church today, and there was nobody to accuse me. Not even God himself, because I got peace with him through what Jesus means to me. His mercy, love, and forgiveness. So she says, no one is here, sir, to condemn me. Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Not only with this commandment, but any area of disobedience you're struggling with in your life. Could be a love for God, a love for people around you, the goal for forgiveness, or adultery itself. Jesus would say, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Notice he offers mercy. Mercy is God's part. We can't just give ourselves mercy. Certainly we're not going to get much from our peers, sadly. God offers the mercy, and our part's the repentance. Go and sin no more. He offers the mercy first. What if Jesus would have said, you promise never to do that again, and come back and I'll see how you're doing, and then I'll not condemn you. Should be a hopeless case if that was what Jesus said. Jesus offers the mercy first. He said, I'll give you the good news. I'll give you the mercy. And from there, you can have a new life if you want that. If you're dealing with sin again in any form, adultery of a harder action or any sin, Jesus would say, I won't condemn. Go and sin no more. He'll give you the grace. I haven't met anybody who can repent properly without the help of God, without the grace and mercy of God. We even need His help when it comes to repentance. So she gets up and the story ends. Every implication is her life in the future now is full of loyalty. It's full of faithfulness. It's full of appropriate physical intimacy. She is a brand new person with the help of Christ. And that could be your story and my story in regards to this commandment or any other commandments. And God is available to help us. But God will not let us be complacent in our sin. He will not let us be complacent in our sin. Sadly, you and I live in a world that is pretty much sold out to adultery. And said, basically, the message of the world is go for it. I mean, don't even try to keep the commandment. Don't even hold yourself back one minimal iota. And it's a sad thing. Somebody did, they checked out television and movies, and they said, how many encounters of intimacy, physical intimacy, was there between married people? And how many encounters of physical intimacy was there between unmarried people? Either they're single or, somebody with somebody else's husband or wife. And it was like 80 to 90% of those close physical relationships were depicted by folks outside of marriage. That's an avalanche. If you were dropped from some faraway country and put in our culture, and you said, is faithfulness and loyalty a value in the society in terms of how people think? You would say no. But it is to the Lord. And so we take that on with His help. And we say we can change because Jesus said, go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you. Now, where does this adultery come from? Where does this breaking of this commandment comes from? A lot of times we turn into the sin police, you might say, and say, I know where it comes from. It comes from HBO. There's certain things on TV that just, they're raunchy. So that's where it comes from. One for that, we wouldn't have these big problems. No, it comes from the 1960s. No, it comes from style of dress, The Bible wants modesty in terms of dress. If you're going to the beach, you dress like you're going to the beach. If you don't go to the beach, don't dress like you're going to the beach. You got that sense of decorum and self-respect and all those things. Does it come from music style? Certain styles of music. That's where the real problem is. Jesus preached on this. You know what He said? He says adultery comes from within. Within. There it is. So He points back to our hearts and says, we have a problem and we need God's help to see things the way He does. And it's an illustration that, it's a bit humorous, but it has a point to it. story of the man going to the counselor, and he has problems in relationships. Okay, he's a chronic adulterer in his actions and his mind. And the counselor says, I want to give you this ink blot test. You look at the ink blots and you tell me what you see. He looks at one ink blot and he says, I see a naked person. He looks at another ink blot. The man says, I see two naked people. Looks at another, three naked people. Counselor says, I can help you with your view of relationships. You have a problem. Man says, I don't have a problem. You're the one with all the naked pictures. You there. But the Bible says, to the pure, things are pure. Right? To the pure, things are pure. To the impure, everything's impure. Everything. So Jesus says, the adultery problem is a problem from within, a problem of the heart. Now, how can we ask God to help us follow Him in His command and again, relearn loyalty, faithfulness, intimacy in a healthy manner that God created? We celebrate that. That's how we got here, all of us. Well, first thing we could do is grow in healthy relationships, loving healthy relationships with other people. That's a great way to say, I'll keep this commandment. Grow in healthy, loving relationships with other people. On Monday night, we had a guest speaker for the dartball team, Tan Shokin. He shared at the table, at the lunch table, he said he used to work with youth in his church for 8 years. And he said people came back from the youth group and they told him, this was the greatest impact you had on our lives, Mr. Ilkin and your wife. He said, when we saw you, husband and wife, and the way you treated one another, the way you communicated, the way you got through the bumps in the road of life that everybody had, when we saw you interact that way, that was a tremendous influence in our lives. That helped us more than anything you taught, and you taught us some good things. That helped us follow God in areas of relationships, in areas of healthy sexuality. We saw that modeled. We wanted to go for it also. And so you and I, as we have healthy, loving relationships with others, we say, God, I need your help with this. Let me love family best I can. Even if you're still growing up, a young person, if you you need God's help to love mom and dad. When you love mom and dad in the proper way, more likely you're going to walk with God in this commandment. If you think mom or dad are out to lunch and you're running away from them at every chance you can, you're going to go out of bounds and break this commandment. Young people, as you have relationships with one another, the more good connections you could have with friends, girlfriends and guy friends, and just treat them with respect and openness, and you do things together in groups, that helps you walk with God in this commandment. It keeps you from getting disloyal and unfaithful in the way you treat people. Notice in the Bible when God said a man would leave his father and mother and be united with his wife. That's heart oneness. And that's physical oneness. God didn't say, before you're married, you become one. My generation has really blown the idea of having oneness in marriage only. We think it should happen beforehand, numerous times. See, and we're kind of committed to that. That's totally unacceptable in God's ways and in His mind. And young people, you have to make the commitment if you're 30 and under to say, with God's help, I will only be one when I'm married. I won't be one outside of marriage. Because that's against what God would have me do. That shows I don't understand faithfulness and loyalty when it comes from the gift of sexuality. But they saw example in other adults and they said, I'm going to live out this commandment. It's really living out the commandment, love one another as Christ has loved us. We can do that. And we can avoid adultery in action. How about adultery in our mind? Which is a problem Jesus pointed to when he preached on adultery. I remember meeting a guy who was a fellow believer at the bus stop. going to seminary, and we would talk about different things. He was about 50, and he didn't have any friends, and he was a little bit disabled emotionally. I'd say he was more of a child in his emotions. But he had a lot of questions about faith, so we talked, eventually got connected to the church and put his faith in Christ. And one day after we went out to eat, a bunch of us, he said, come to my apartment, I want to show you where I live. Didn't have a lot at all. Very poor person. Only had a table and chairs and a place to sleep. But we went into his apartment, very simple. And all around the apartment were pictures of movie stars. Old-time movie stars. Marilyn Monroe, Elizabeth Taylor, all kind of good-looking movie stars. And he said, these are all my girlfriends. And he said, but it's okay, because they have their clothes on still. You know, and getting just to hear his heart wasn't connected with mom or dad. You know, they were gone or didn't care about him. Wasn't connected to any of his brothers or sisters. Really didn't have any Christian friends as such. Wasn't close to anybody in a healthy relationship. And so what he was left with was, these are my girlfriends. See? And so by getting connected to the church, he could have had real friendships. Real friendships. Real closeness. Not imaginary closeness. And it wouldn't matter if the people didn't have clothes on. It would be the same principle. Pornography is a huge problem in our society and in the hearts of believers also. We think, hey, that's where it's at. But when I was growing up, there was only a few magazines you had to be concerned about. Now, you know, many, many. Now you got over 100,000 websites where if you want imaginary closeness with somebody, go ahead. It'll pop up on your screen, you know, unless you have the filter thing going on. But there's a seeking of that because there's unhealthiness and lack of closeness in people's lives. And so people say, I'll just go and be close to whoever. But love, the love of God, the love of people is the cure for the sin of adultery, action-wise or in the heart. Love is the great cure. And with Christ's help, we begin to love people for who they are. We love the values of faithfulness and loyalty, and we begin to follow Christ. Jesus said, if your eye looks and seeks to grasp with evil intent, or if your hand grabs with evil intent, Jesus said, cut that out. That's a totally new way to live than the culture offers. But Christ offers us that because he'll teach us loyalty, faithfulness, intimacy in a healthy manner. And the word of the Lord is, you don't have to live like you've lived. If we stand before God with this commandment, and we say, we're either like the gal, or we're like the guys with the stone saying, I know how to solve the culture problem of adultery. I got this big rock, and I'm firing away, baby. Jesus said, put the rock down. Listen to what I have to tell you. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Young people were starting to say, I want faithfulness. I want loyalty. I don't want this adultery stuff in my life. God bless them. The younger generation, a lot of them in churches are doing something called the silver ring thing. The silver ring thing is when a young person says, you know, with some teaching and with some peer help, they say, I'll wear a silver ring to remind myself that intimacy and loyalty and sexual activity is for marriage and not beforehand. And they're taking that on with God's help. What a tremendous thing. I thought, you know, all of us could do the silver ring thing. It doesn't matter where you're at on the road of your experiences of breaking this commandment. You could stop with Jesus' help today and say in your heart, God will give me a silver ring with him. Maybe I haven't been very loyal, very faithful, broken faith with God and spouse. God says, I'll give you a new start. That's what God did with his people in the Old Testament. In the book of Hosea, God said the people, you know what they were like? They were like a wife who turned into a prostitute. That's what we look like to God when we put everything first but Him. We say, well, you know, that's just the way our hearts are. God says, I'm coming after you. In the book of Hosea. And He said, the spiritual adultery He feels from our heart to His, He says, I would come and bring you a change if you would want to. And in the book of Hosea, Gomer, the rebellious adulteress, comes home to Hosea. And they know God again. And they got a fresh start. And the implication is Gomer learns through the mercy of Hosea to not break faith and to walk in newness of life. You could be like the woman at the well. She was committed to adultery. She had five husbands, working on husband number six. Jesus comes, I'll give you water of life. You could be different. And the Lord would give you this morning, if you stand before God and you say, I got a failing grade on this commandment, Jesus would come, He'd give you the forgiveness of sins. You could be innocent again. You could be like that child. And you understand, adultery, that's when I pretend like to be an adult and I'm not really an adult in my heart. You can be innocent again before God, like the woman at the well was. You can have forgiveness. You can have the character of Christ, learning how to be loyal, faithful, having God's gifts the way He would like you to have them, His own character, and then a home in heaven. Would God invite the woman caught in adultery to heaven? How about the person with five spouses? Jesus would reach out. He reached out to our heart today. Might we turn to Him and know His grace and the change He can bring. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we need Your help in this area of relationships. That's what this commandment's all about, really. We think it's just a physical thing. It's really a heart thing, You said. And You would help us be faithful in our relationships to You with the gifts You've given us, with the gift of our sexuality. We could actually rejoice, feel free, walk from church a brand new person with Your help. Be with those who find themselves in the midst of things too big for them. Often, Father, we can get help with peer help, saying, I need Your help being faithful in action and in heart. Jesus, provide that for connections to one another. Lord, I pray for great repentance in the church in this area. For too long, we reflect the world and we try to play catch up. And this is killing person after person. And Father, help us in response to people around us who are very broken to put the stones down and to come with the message of Christ and hear and speak and say, go and sin no more. What good news. Might it be so for each one of us as we look to You. Just hear us as we make quiet commitments, Father, to walk in Your ways. Hear our silent prayers. Thank You for Your help, Lord. As I was led in the first service to say that the guilt people may feel in this commandment is not as heavy and severe as the true guilt and true shame of not loving God, not loving people, for which the breaking this commandment flows. So might there be love for yourself and love for others today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.